This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Warwick Long on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Well, Warwick Long, nothing screams public holiday or holiday in general like wearing thongs in the shower, checking up above you to make sure there's no spiders and hoping that nobody walks in on you because you are in a shared shower block in a caravan park. But they are not open, and that quite possibly is the reason why not many people have checked in to local caravan parks across the state, which has actually taken us by surprise a little bit.
It's very surprising, Rochelle, because I was on the bike yesterday on the way home from school, and I counted three or four campers as part of my little ride. That must have been on the trip somewhere. But yeah, all reports though from a lot of places is that there's not a lot of bookings going on at the moment. A lot of people are waiting to see what happens with their big trips away and if they're going to go camping or caravanning at all. It's also pretty cold, but that doesn't generally stop us in winter camping and caravanning in Victoria, does it? So I don't know if we can entirely blame that. But it's an interesting discussion, isn't it? When will people be ready to step outside and go for a trip? Because I would have thought a lot of people would have been itching to leave the house.
Well, a little bit of the conversations that I've already had with caravan owners, and we'll discover this today, is that they feel like there's a little bit of confusion out there at the moment. Can you actually use the shared toilet blocks and shower blocks? You know, what can you do? What can't you do? Can you use barbecues, for example? And how much of that is really about families that are wanting to have long weekends and those that are kitted up like yourself was, that have got the RVs, you know, you've got all of the gear, you've got all the bells and whistles, whereas me, you know what? I rock up with a tent if I'm lucky, maybe a can of baked beans and a packet of Doritos, and I'm fingers crossed that everything will be all right. So,
Rich, I'd hardly call my 20-year-old caravan a kitted up RV, but thank you. Thank you for the compliment. It makes me feel very luxurious. But you are right, though. There are people in a position who are probably very confident to travel, and there's others that are waiting for the rules to give them a guidance. And even though the rules have changed, they're probably not yet there yet. This one already in, Rochelle says, we were going camping but didn't book because no showers. So I think that's a lot of feelings that other people are sharing at the moment as well. Tyson, who's in Kyneton. Hi, Tyson.
Hello, how are you?
Good, mate. You're packed up and you're off to go.
Yeah, we're off to Kerrang, camping with the old man, off to have a nice weekend. Been locked up in the house for a bit, so I just thought it'd be nice to get out of the house.
How long's it been, Tyson, since you've been out?
It would be, I'd say, about half a year, 6 months, yeah.
Right. And I'm terrible at camping, Tyson, like the worst. You would so not want to go camping with me. So what makes a camping experience good? You know, what do you need to have there to make it okay?
The people there, the music, and just
the vibe.
Yeah,
that's it. Yep. Ripper, Tyson. I hope you have a cracking weekend, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. You too.
Stay safe. Good on you, Tyson. Say hi to Dad for us. Caroline's in Painesville. Caroline, welcome.
Hello. Well, I'm not in Painesville yet, but we've got the caravan on the back of the car and we're heading down now.
And is this trip different to what you'd normally do, Caroline? Have you had to prepare differently?
Yeah, we did. We heard all the toilets and showers would be closed, so we bought a port-a-loo. So we've got that now in the back of the van, and we'll have a sponge bath instead of a shower.
Oh, wow. That sounds luxurious. Now, when we talk a port-a-loo, we're not talking one of those things you see at construction sites on wheels, are we? We're talking about something a bit smaller than that.
Yeah, we had to get a really small one that would fit under the bed, and you just pull it out and empty the cartridge after 3 days or so. That will be the husband's job, of course.
Absolutely. Pass that one on, Caroline. Pass that one on. You know, that, I mean, it actually sounds like when he used to stay at my nana's house. For some reason, she always had just like a little bedpan or a port-a-loo under the bed, and maybe we just need to be less precious about this and have it not stop us from going camping and getting out there. And, you know, we've all been in lockdown. Let's not let a toilet stand in the way between us and getting out there.
Well, that's right. Though the caravan park did say after we'd bought the port-a-loo that 3 toilets will be open. So I was a bit confused about that. But look, we'll use this. We can go off-road with it now. And we just wanted to get out and support one of our local caravan parks and support a regional town. So we're looking forward to having a lovely weekend.
What a great idea. Now, Caroline, we did ask Tyson, the other caller, this. How long's it been since you've been out, and how often would you usually be getting out in the caravan?
We get out as much as we can. So I think we were planning on going to Painesville for the Labor Day weekend. So that got cancelled, Easter got cancelled, Anzac weekend got cancelled. So that was three trips away that we haven't done. But we'll get away as much as we can going forward.
Oh, well, Caroline, I'll certainly appreciate you being there. I know Warwick and I spent time in Painesville our very first week together on the Conversation Hour after the bushfires, and the town was so quiet. We went to go have a meal at the pub, didn't we? And we thought it was shut, and it actually wasn't. It was just that there was no patrons there, and they're really desperate to have people back. So I'm sure all of the locals and all of the businesses there will be rapt to have you, Caroline. Thank you. That confusion around toilets, Warwick, we're going to get into that a little bit in just a moment with some caravan park owners, because there is confusion. Toilet blocks are open, but shower blocks aren't. Or is it? You know, some of the shower blocks are open, but there's just rules around them. So I think the fact that it's so murky, it's a little bit confusing, is what's putting people off. So, you know, that's a part of it as well.
Yeah, Faye in Horsham has thoughts on this. Hi, Faye.
Oh, hello. Yes, we head up every year up north for anything from 5 to 8 weeks, depending on what else is happening in our lives. And but we chose earlier on not to have a large van with a toilet and shower. So we have to rely on public toilets and showers. But we will leave to go up north as soon as we're assured that we can use those facilities.
And Faye, given that you often head away, what was it like to have a few frosty mornings and a Victorian winter again?
Well, usually we because we have family here with grandchildren, etc., we usually head off after the school holidays and get the last of the winter and perhaps sometimes into spring. So I really don't mind.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Thank you very much for calling, Faye, and good luck. And it's a prudent thing to do, I suppose, in a lot of people's mind, Rochelle, too, is just wait and find out what's happening with the rules and then go from there. But other people, as we're hearing, are itching to get out and go camping.
That little pot underneath the bed, it's called a chamber pot or a potty, says this text. Pop it under the bed and it saves the midnight trek in the days where the toilets were outside. You know, when I grew up and I was super little, our loo was outside. So we had the sneaky little pan under there. I was about 5 years of age. I wasn't trekking out to the toilets. I'm not sure how we got onto this conversation. I think we should move on.
Love learning all this about you, Rochelle. I just love it. It's a learning experience, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You lie. Oh, sometimes I need to be quiet. Cheryl Parker is from the Lee and Gatha Caravan Park. She's the owner there. Cheryl, you've been listening and we had a chat yesterday. There is a lot of confusion around what's open, what's not open, and what the procedures will be for caravan parks at the moment, isn't there?
Yes, good morning, Rochelle and Warwick. Yep, there has been demonstrations of where people are confused by what's allowed and what isn't. Like I was saying yesterday, we've not got really any bookings for this long weekend, and we honestly thought that people would have been chafing at the bit to get out there and get back into doing their caravanning, given that it's a long weekend, but that's not the case.
How busy would it normally be, Cheryl?
Oh, we'd be full. We'd be filled to the max. Like we were back on Australia Day weekend, we were full. We had to actually turn people away because it was so full. And we thought, well, surely that would happen again this weekend, given it's the last chance for a while. But no, it's completely the opposite. We've got two tents booked in and two caravans booked in.
What's the confusion around? What have you been told as a caravan park owner? If, you know, we were to check in, if my family was to check in a tent, so we have no facilities, what can and what can't I use?
Well, we've heard that you can use the toilet block. Now, our amenities block is quite large for this small park, and the toilets are quite large and the showers are quite large. But we've heard along the grapevine that you can't use the showers, but you can let people use the toilets. But that seems to be causing a lot of confusion, not just for us, but for our customers or potential customers, because there's no reason why you can't use toilets in a big shopping centre or other big stores, hardware stores, etc. But yet there seems to be, and you can use toilets out in the public area. You know, if you go around council toilet blocks, etc., you can use the toilets. And then, but there's some confusion about whether you can use the toilets at a caravan park. And I really don't understand how you can use a small toilet block out there in the community, but you're not allowed to use a large toilet block that's here in our caravan park.
So you weren't given any specific guidelines. You weren't given from the government, okay, here is the outline of what you can and can't do now that lockdown and restrictions have been lifted?
No, it's been very difficult to get information, really. We were quite confused by the whole thing, and we just get information, work on whatever information we can get. We only got that information about the toilets from the Information Bureau because they're scattered around this area and they always ring us to see what availability we've got for long weekends and public holidays, and they said that we're allowed to use the toilets but not the showers, and that's sort of a bit of a problem for us because if you've got caravanners coming in and they need the showers, and our showers are quite large, bigger than they need to be apparently, according to council anyway, and they lock up like a cubicle, so you're not going to be interacting with anybody else when you have a shower. So I think there's just so much confusion out there, and I also wonder whether people are not making any plans to go anywhere, because at the beginning of this COVID, Scott Morrison got on the TV and told everybody not to undertake non-essential travel. But he hasn't gotten on the TV and said, oh, okay, non-essential travel is okay now. So is that holding people back? I don't know.
Is this a difficult period for you, Cheryl? As you say, you've come through sort of the end of summer when a lot of people were staying away, and into this COVID situation, more people are staying away. And now you're looking at months of winter before travellers are ready to come back. Is that difficult for you as an owner to be looking at, you know, like you're still sort of halfway up Everest with a mountain to climb?
Well, yeah, it is difficult because we were travelling along okay last year until the drought started slowing things down. You know, people just weren't travelling as much. Then the bushfires kicked in and people were not travelling at all, which was understandable. And we just started to get back on our feet. And then this COVID has kicked in. So we haven't had any overnighters, you know, since early March when people started cancelling all the bookings that they'd made, including caravan groups. We had one booked in just as the announcement came over that people were not to do non-essential travel. So we've just been sitting here quietly waiting for the caravanners to come
back. And what about the community as a whole? How is Leongatha as a whole now? We've had some restrictions ease. Is the local hotel starting to open, cafes, shops? What's the general spirit around town like at the moment?
Well, people are still very quiet. They've got the cafes are basically still only doing the takeaway coffees, and the township itself is very, very quiet indeed. I'm just moving to another room. The whole township is very, very quiet. And it's a tiny town to start with, so I'm a bit worried about how it is so quiet and the tourist numbers are just not there. And we really do need them to come in because we've got the huge rail trail which starts in Leongatha and people like to walk and ride their bikes. We've got a huge sports complex across the road that's being underutilised. And we've got a whole district where there's rolling green hills just everywhere. It's just so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And there's
really
just
is.
Fat cows lolling about the place. In fact, if you pull up, the cows will actually stare at you and say, well, you know, what are you doing?
What are you doing here? Oh, and producers of some beautiful cheese in that area too, was some of the finest goat's cheese you'll come across in Leongatha.
Oh, goat's cheese.
Oh, I love cheese.
Cheryl, thank you so much for talking to us. It's obviously a difficult time too, and I can't imagine it's easy to go through it all, but we appreciate your time on the program.
Thank you very much for letting me talk, and we'll all get through this. There is an end.
Good on you, Cheryl. Yep. Good on you.
Take care.
Cheryl Parker there from the Leongatha Caravan Park, taking us through only a couple of bookings for a long weekend when they'd normally be full. Rochelle, on the text, a few people commenting on the toilet under the bed, saying it's called a gazunda because it goes under the bed. There you go.
Oh, my pa would have had that joke. I can't believe he didn't. I can't believe I didn't know that.
Also on the text, we had Phil from Traralgon saying, "Hi, Rochelle and Warwick, we normally head to our on-sitter in Lakes Entrance this weekend. The licensed venues are our go-to when the chill comes in. So due to their restricted access, we've opted to stay at home." And Callista in Doreen says, "We're off to Bridgewater on Loddon. It's been 9 months since we've hooked up the van. Really looking forward to it as we'll meet up with my parents in their van and we haven't seen them for a while. Looking forward to sitting by the river and eating delicious food from the bakery."
Oh, gosh, that sounds all right. Elaine's in Armidale and I think is thinking about hooking up the caravan as well. Elaine, welcome.
Hi, Rochelle. No caravan, but 23 of us usually go to the King Valley, which is up north, on this long weekend for the Wine and Food Festival. Well, of course, there's no Wine and Food Festival this weekend, but we're still going. And we have had a very confusing week because are we allowed to go? Are we allowed to have showers? Are we allowed to have toilets? You can't take a port-a-loo, blah, 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 blah. It has been absolutely a roller coaster, and I feel really sorry for the beautiful couple who own the caravan park we're going to because they lost money in Christmas because of the bushfires up there. They lost Easter, and their bookings this weekend are just non-existent. So it's really sad.
Elaine, what rules do you think you'll be actually working under this weekend when you are away?
Well, that's a good question, Warwick, because we're not quite sure till we actually get there. We know the toilets are open, but the crazy thing is the toilets back onto the showers in exactly the same block. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. You can go into the loos, but you're not allowed to turn around the corner to go into the showers. Anyway, we've decided we're not terribly precious. We've been camping for years with kids and grandkids, and it's the, wash in the sink.
Given how many of us love to go camping, the fact that from caravan park owners to yourself, Elaine, you're one of 23 friends and family that are going, that none of you have been able to find clear and precise information, does that alarm you at all?
It does, and we've had, over the last 10 days, we've had one instruction from DHHS, contradicted by another instruction from Parks Victoria, contradicted by another one from DHHS. It is just crazy. And the crazy thing is the caravan park has been open the whole time for emergency, essential services people. They haven't had many, but they've had a few. As soon as, and their toilets and showers and communal kitchens were open, now they've had to close the showers and the communal kitchen.
Well, Elaine, have a wonderful long weekend. You and all 23 of your closest friends. Good on you. Thank you.
Kids, and we're going bike riding and we'll visit wineries and we'll spend money.
Oh, sounds like a great idea. Thank you. Hey, Woz, Alison has sent a text. She's a little disappointed in me. "I'm constantly surprised at the gaps in Rochelle's general knowledge, chamber pot being the latest example. How has that happened? From her childhood? I don't understand. Maybe not paying attention? Like, I'm sorry, Alison, that I didn't know the term chamber pot. This is a big gap in my general knowledge and something that I work very hard at trying to figure out. But I think it was just known as the bucket in the bathroom when I grew up, basically."
Don't worry, Alison. This is what I have to deal with every day. It's a stain against her name, not knowing what a chamber pot is. 0437 774 774 if you want to send a text. You can call 1300 222 774. Derek's off to the Wanangatta Valley right now. Derek, we wish you a safe journey. Chris says, "Our caravan park in beautiful Jamison is open, has the toilets open, so they're open for business. There have been caravans and campers streaming in all week. Don't know if they're free campers or parkies, but hopefully lots of business for the town. I am waiting for the Queensland borders to open and we will be out of here ASAP, usually in Queensland all winter, so struggling with these beautiful frosts," says Chris. And that's a lot of people in our community, the nomads, so to speak, spend a lot of time out of Victoria at this time of year to avoid things like the frosts and the cold, and they'll be having their first Victorian winter in years right now.
Before we have a quick chat to the Caravan Parks Association of Victoria, just to give us some clarification, so if we are all a little bit confused, let's have a chat to Josephina McDonald. She's the owner of the Halls Gap Lakeside Tourist Park. Josephina, have your regular visitors, have they been confused as to what they can and can't do as well?
Absolutely. They have been confused, but only for a very, very short time because we were very proactive and we did a frequently asked questions straight away. We launched it on our website. And Daniel Andrews was very, very clear in his message. He said, keep an eye on density, distancing and hygiene measures. And also he did. It was so clear. So we said, okay, we need to do that. We can't open our facilities, so we only allow self-contained motorhomes, caravans, and our cabins with showers and toilets. And we pretty much stuck to that rule until Thursday, a week ago. We got a email from Vic Parks, which is our industry body, saying that toilets, playgrounds, swimming pools could open, and also all common facilities. And we just pulled our hair out going, we've just disappointed so many people we had booked in and cancelled. And then now we can have them again. So I deliberately decided not to post it on Facebook because I didn't trust it. And then the next morning, Vic Parks actually sends an email and says, so sorry, we were wrong. It's only the toilets open. So we only had like three bookings who slipped through the cracks and actually thought they could bring their tent. So we just had to call those three and cancel. But we still have over 400 people coming to stay with us this weekend. Our full capacity is 550. And because we've been so seriously proactive and just really trying to use common sense about what Daniel Andrews had to tell us and the hygiene, distancing and this density measures, we have been able to answer questions very clearly.
So, Josephina, does that mean then that all of those 400 bookings have got their own shower facilities, or is there a way around shower facilities and being able to use those?
No, absolutely not. We have been extremely strict and firm. So all the people who are coming in have booked a cabin or a glamping tent with us, or they have got their fully self-contained caravan or motorhome with working toilet and shower. So we are still allowing the toilets to be open, but we are asking people to stick to their own toilets as much as they can to just prevent COVID-19 to spread any further.
And with 400 people there this weekend, that begs the obvious question, Josephina. Are you worried about there being a COVID case that connects itself to your caravan park now you're open?
Yeah, I have actually sent everybody a newsletter to say the last thing we need is to get COVID-19 in our park. And that's not so much because I'm scared of getting sick, but I am really worried about media attention and get Halls Gap Lakeside Tourist Park in the media for the wrong reasons. So because that would be really bad exposure, because then we straight away get a stamp, whatever stamp that is. So, I can't afford emotionally and financially to close my doors again. So I was very worried, but we've put all measures in place that the risk levels are very, very small.
Josephina, we wish you all the best. Thank you so much for joining us and have a great long weekend. Josephina McDonald is the owner of Halls Gap Lakeside Tourist Park. Well, let's try and get some clarifications, Woz. Scott Parker is the CEO of Caravan Parks Association of Victoria. Scott, are you surprised by the fact that both visitors as well as owners aren't really sure what they can and can't do?
Rochelle and Warwick, and thanks for covering this issue. I'm not surprised that people are confused, because only as late as Wednesday the information changed again. The DHHS website now clearly says that communal facilities such as showers and kitchens can be used if members of a group booking have exclusive access to those facilities. So on Wednesday, we advised our members that you can open your showers, and that's the biggest issue for people. But you've got to be very careful that those showers are only available to a booking at a time and that they're cleaned both before and after use by the operator.
How?
So if we had the Conversation Hour camping club, Rochelle and I both took our families somewhere, and would the operator then be saying, shower 19 in the block is your shower to use, or is it more individual than that, the one family has to have access to that one shower block?
It will be entirely up to the provider, depending on the circumstances in their park. Every single park in Victoria is entirely different. Some have co-located showers and toilets. Some have relatively few public facilities in their park relative to the number of people there. And some have a lot of communal facilities relative to the number of people there. And it'll depend on the number of bookings. But with all that aside, listeners should know, and caravan park operators should know, that one, communal toilets have always been open. They've never been closed, so they remain open. But showers, as long as they can be provided exclusively for at least a period of time that provides a thorough clean before and after use, then that is okay. The DHHS website had that information as at about 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. So we'd been seeking the same sort of clarification that individual parks and members of the public, no doubt, have been seeking through late last week and early this week. And after a bit of agitation, we finally got that confirmation. So, people still should, before they go, ring the caravan park and make sure that the facilities will be available to them that they need if they're not coming in a fully self-contained van or motorhome. That's the best advice I can give. And then from there, it is really up to the park operator how they manage the exclusive use of communal showers.
And I think the answer to this is obvious, but I'll ask it anyway. There is a text asking about the ensuite blocks that a lot of caravan parks can offer, usually there for a higher fee. So they could still be allowed to be used by somebody purchasing that because they would be cleaned before and after use. Is that right?
Absolutely. So parks are interested, just like the government, just like the members of the community, just like guests, are interested in minimising the risk of infection, and they are doing, as you heard from the park caller just before, I think it was Josephine, she's doing absolutely everything she thinks she can do and needs to do to minimise the risk of infection. Everybody's doing that throughout Victoria, and yes, there has been confusion about communal shower use, and as long as you can hive it off and make it exclusive to a booking at a time and thoroughly clean before and after, the park is open for that use. But please ring the park operator before you go to make sure that that they're able to oblige that in your case.
Scott, while we've got you, we might quickly have a chat to Corey, who's heading from Broken Hill but is heading out camping and is a little confused as well. Corey, what are you still unsure about?
Yeah, how you going? Camping on the river, like around our area, we haven't got any covert, or never did have. But we're getting people from away coming up our way, like cities. But anyway, we've been told that we're not allowed to camp on the river. We're allowed to go fishing, but we're not allowed to stay the night. So my idea is I'll take a wheel off me bloody car or caravan and say I'm broken down for the night.
Say that loud. Everyone will have the same idea, mate. Oh,
well, hey, come on. Yeah.
Like, let's put that to Scott. Scott Parker, the CEO of Caravan Parks Association, is with us as well. Scott, I mean, this is riverbank camping, but is Corey allowed to camp there?
Oh, that's probably a council issue. We've got to look after the regulated sector, the caravan parks that have all the have all the measures in place that are able to look after guests and minimise the risk of infection. I probably can't answer for him in this particular case. He probably should ring the local council to clarify.
And parks and so forth will have different answers in different states, which is where a lot of the frustration can come for as well. Scott Parker, just before we say goodbye to you, CEO of Caravan Parks Association of Victoria, is there anything else in terms of the rules that you think campers who are on the road right now or heading to parks should be aware of or cognizant of as they go away for probably the first time in months?
To enjoy themselves, but take care. Work with the park operator to minimise the risk of infection. Everyone is in this together, and when in doubt, and take a conservative route about what you do and what you clean and how often you clean it. Interestingly, DHHS have confirmed that outdoor barbecues are able to be used. If people are going to congregate around them, they need to be aware of the
physical distancing requirements, both the 1.5 metre and the one every 4 square metres. And the surfaces used on the barbecue need to be thoroughly cleaned before and after use. Playgrounds are open, again, the physical distancing requirements are there, and the park operator needs to do the best they can to wipe down those facilities as best they can and as often as they can. So if everybody could just be mindful that, you know, the park operators are under a lot of pressure, they do want to open desperately, and most of them have. Most of them are getting used to the requirements that they now have.
Yeah, it's a lot to navigate though, Scott, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. But so if guests can happily work with the operator, it should be everyone should have a great time together.
Good on you, Scott. Thanks for joining us. Scott Parker, the CEO of Caravan Parks Association of Victoria. We'll just quickly touch base with Wendy James. Now, she's the owner and manager of Bort Lakes Holiday Park. Wendy, when you hear the list of things that you have to do, I mean, I don't know whether I've ever seen a communal barbecue be cleaned properly, just quietly. How do you manage all of that and reduce the risk of COVID-19 in your holiday park?
Well, I think it's an individual thing per park, depending on your staff resources. And at this point, we lost all our casual staff upon our closure. So it's only my husband and I. Unfortunately, we'll keep our barbecues closed because it's just that we don't believe him and I can clean. We've got five barbecues, and if they're all being used constantly, we've got to be able to make sure that we can keep those the cleaning regime up. Although it is up to the users to clean them before and after, we're just not confident at this stage for this weekend that there'll be enough of us to go around. So we're keeping them closed, The numbers of people coming to our park are mainly our annuals coming back, so they have all their own facilities and caravans with their own en suites, because our toilets and showers are joined, so it's hard for us to open one and not the other. And the idea of someone, a group using them and then us having to go in there straight away is tricky. We don't have en-suite sites as such, so it's going to vary from caravan park to caravan park how you work with it. Our first stage is that we won't open our communal toilets because they're with the showers, just for this weekend to be safe, until we get enough staff that we can do it properly.
And you touched on it there, Wendy, but how many have you got in for the weekend? Are people travelling?
We have 57 privately owned holiday cabins, and I believe probably half of those will be utilised by the holidayers coming back. I'd say we're relatively quiet, but for tourists, we still have a lot of workers in, though, so that's keeping us busy and ticking along. But we cannot wait for the day that we can just go, we're open. still with the heightened cleaning requirements. Yeah. But when we get to that stage, that's when we can put our full complement of staff back on and then be able to sort of meet all those requirements of before and afters.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to the day where there is a big no vacancy sign out the front of many caravan parks across Victoria. Wendy, we wish you all the best. Thank you. Wendy James, the owner and manager of Bort Lakes Holiday Park. Was many people, because, you know, they're confused about whether or not you can go away, can you use the showers, can you use the loos? We've seen a huge increase in walking and walking trails across Victoria. Maybe people are popping into the car and going for a drive for a few hours in order to do a big long walk, or maybe we're discovering walks here locally. And I think too, some of that has come out of the fact that many of us have discovered how great walking is, and we've all taken up a little bit of an evening stroll, because throughout lockdown it was pretty much all we can do. So if you're not camping, maybe you're walking. And that's what we're going to be talking about next.
This is the Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Warwick Long.
And I actually discovered, when on the road with Mr. Warwick Long for an entire week earlier this year, I've just realised, you are a bit of a Chevy Chase in the car. You have strict rules around how long you can stop at places. You know, you start the stopwatch. All right, kids, out you get. You've got time to go to the loo, get yourself a sandwich and a cold drink, and you've almost got a whistle in there to get us back into the car. I think you're him.
You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep moving. Although I was thinking, what's that song? I haven't heard that before. So, Chevy Chase. So that's National Lampoon's, is it? And yes. Slightly before my time.
Oh, I need to educate you, Warwick Long. How do you not know National Lampoon's Vacation? And yet I agreed to do a radio show with you. Ben Rossiter is the executive officer of Victoria Walks. There would be nothing Chevy Chase about you when you go on holidays, I'm sure, Ben.
Nothing I'm going to fess up to on radio. but I did chuckle at your comment about Warwick. But, you know, I, when I am going away, I do like to leave on time. I drive my family nuts and say, you know, we're going at such and such a time, and I get a bit itchy if I don't get going at the time. But, no, I don't do stopwatches at the stops on the way.
There's nothing better than a well-packed car and some nice, efficient travelling, Ben. It keeps everything moving and you get to your location nice and swiftly on time. But we're talking about stopping and actually walking and enjoying ourselves right now, which a lot of people have been doing, probably for even, not the first time, but probably more than they have in the past, with some of us wanting to get exercise without gyms, heading out to different areas and going for walks. What's that meant, you think, for our enjoyment of our state and the places that we like to go walking?
There's a couple of things. Walking really is the good news of this difficult time of COVID. It really is. You know, prior to COVID, it was, you know, the most popular recreation activity by country mile. But during COVID, both when we had, you know, lockdown in local communities, I think many people reaffirmed their love and joy of walking, and others were, I guess, introduced to it at a much deeper level. And if you look around our streets and neighbourhoods, it's been phenomenal. The number of people out walking and connecting with physical distancing, so that, you know, they're smiling, they're saying g'day. It's been absolutely brilliant. But then as we're coming out, the big thing is people want to get out and walk further afield. And reports of some of the really popular walks, Parks Victoria walks and other walks that are just way overcrowded. Some have been closed because the numbers of people going there. But walking, it is the good story because, you know, you get out, you connect, walk with others side by side, in step, sharing the space.
Given that we're coming up to a long weekend, Ben, and many of us aren't camping, as we've discovered, there's confusion around, you know, where you can go, where you can stay. With walks, I mean, is there any confusion around what's open and what's not, and what physical distancing looks like when you're walking in terms of you've got someone a bit slower in front of you and you want to overtake? How do we get that exact information about where we can go walking locally?
Well, I think where you can go walking, I mean, you need to check. If you want to go to the local, some of the bigger high visitation parks and Parks Victoria, have a look on the website before you go to make sure they're open. But personally, I think people maybe avoid some of the big high visitation parks. I mean, we know things like, you know, the Thousand Steps and the Redwood Forest in Warburton are closed at least till about the 21st of June. But our walking maps where people search and find walks, we know things like Lerdeder Gorge, Yu Yang's Plenty Gorge, the George Bass Coastal Walk. We've had thousands and thousands of visits on those pages, and our followers tell us that some of them are really busy. So I'd say tend to try and find places that might not be the really popular ones. Stay local. I've got some gorgeous stories of people who've walked locally. You know, one of our followers is a 68-year-old woman, Helen from Bayside, who was booked into, you know, trekking tours in Europe. And during lockdown, she couldn't see family and grandkids, so she just put on her backpack and did a virtual Camino walking around the suburbs. She'd open Google Maps, find a blue or green spot within 15K and head for it. So that's sort of metro walks. But I think outside, there's a lot of them, you know, I think people are attracted to beach, bush and water, and they've been missing it. And beach walks, as we get cooler weather, can be good because you're not going to have people swimming. So there's an opportunity to, on some of the wider beaches, to really go for a longer stroll down the Surf Coast, Cape Otway. And we can do day trips to get down there quite easily.
Ben, if people do want to look at their local walk, say in suburbs or in towns, it's not as easy to get that information, is it? What's the best way of them knowing? Or maybe if you are going for a drive, you know, should you stop and have a chat when you're getting your coffee and say, look, where are some good walks that I could do here in this town?
Yeah, it is, you're right, it is quite difficult. A lot of councils publish their own walks, but they're a bit buried on their websites. The first thing that we'd recommend is having a look at our walking maps website, walkingmaps.com.au, and has a mobile site where you can find walks by your based on your current location. But I have to warn, there's a lot of areas that we haven't mapped walks yet, so you might be disappointed in some areas, but others have got really great walks. Strathbogieshire has been mapping a lot of brilliant walks over the last few weeks, which I'd encourage people to get out, because they've got areas which have, you know, have a bit of space, really good tracks. Some of the towns, like, you know, Violet Town is one I want to go up and have a look at around there, Avenel. So there's lots of places which, you know, just from the local council, you'll find from the tourist info, where are the local walks? And that'd be a really good place to start.
Is it surprising, Ben, that we don't have a better list or a map of these kind of places? I'm often surprised how you can stumble on to a walk in your own backyard that's there for years and you never really knew it was there.
Yeah, it is. That's what we've been trying to do for many years on our walking map site, and we've built up, you know, we've got about 600 really high quality walks around the state, and we'll continue to build them, and lots of councils are mapping them. But those local hidden gems, you're absolutely right, some people aren't really aware of what's in their neighbourhood, and I think that's one of the benefits of this period we've been through, is people have explored their local areas a lot more. And you know, got past, you know, if you live in the metro area, we've got our shared walking and cycling paths, which are massively overcrowded, so they're not very appealing to walk. So people have tried to explore a bit more locally, but we are getting more and more walks on the Maps website, which seems to be, you know, the destination where people are going. Our visits to the site have doubled in the last, what they were to pre-COVID in the last few weeks. It's quite phenomenal.
Mm. Ben, you just mentioned how crowded that these shared paths are. And we did a dedicated program on cycling and commuting post-COVID, given that many people are scared to get onto public transport at the moment, or that we're wanting to capitalise on our newfound love of bike riding. Is there a way that we can capitalise on our newfound love of walking and the walkability of our cities and of our regional centres as a way to commute and as a way to get around? How much work needs to be done there, do you think?
It's actually, I mean, the cycling stuff is good news, but walking, that's where we need to put possibly even greater emphasis. We're working with Vic Health about this, looking at, you know, what do we need to have the space for health, the room to move. And if you think locally, particularly when we're talking about local economic recovery, and, you know, 60% of people who are within 2K of pubs, restaurants and cafes pre-COVID walked there. We have an opportunity to improve the walking environment so people can get there more easily. And in COVID, we need to look at, you know, widening footpaths, particularly in the busy areas like around strip shops and the CBD, and that can be country towns, it doesn't have to be in the city, because most of our footpaths are not wide enough to enable physical distancing. So you can look at things like temporarily reallocating the road space, you know, making the footpath wider, looking at things like even temporary dropping the speed limit, because people are going to need to walk on the road. So in the busy places, we need to temporarily drop the speed limit. And that's, some councils want to do that. The Victorian Government Department of Transport's got to look at really speeding up the approval processes to enable that to happen. Because if we have people walking, it is not just good for their health, but it's an access and equity issue for higher numbers of people working from home, which will continue for a lot of people, and higher levels of unemployment and underemployment. We need to be able to, it's a lot fairer if we can get them to have better access to walk around their neighbourhoods and to shops and services, and that will benefit the economic recovery of local businesses.
You travel the world, Ben, going to seminars and learning more, and I guess promoting what we do in Victoria when it comes to walking. Globally, living in the pandemic that we're living in at the moment, have other countries created a more walkable city? Have any pop-ups? Has any widening? Has any of this been done anywhere around the globe?
There's numerous countries all around the world which are temporarily just reallocating kilometres, tens and tens of kilometres of road space. And even locally, New Zealand was a lot more ahead of the game. They were doing a lot of these temporary reallocations of road space practically straight away. Some of it's gone back to normal. Some of them they're looking at whether they need to keep permanent. But definitely European countries. London is doing a phenomenal amount. The government is pouring in hundreds of millions of pounds into reallocating road space for walking and cycling. New South Wales has done some. They're supporting, there's I think a $15 million fund for local councils. Victoria, we haven't seen anything really yet, and it's is a bit of a concern because there's an opportunity to really, you know, make it much easier for people to get around because we won't have space on the road for vehicles. You know, we can't have more vehicles than we had pre-COVID because we know we had congested roads. So this is an opportunity to decongest and mean that people who don't need to drive, if we can get them walking, that's better for all of us.
Well, Ben, it's been great to have you on the program today to talk a little bit about walking, and there's less arguments about restrictions and rules on walking. We know we can go for a good stroll, and it's lovely to hear that. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Ben Rossiter, Executive Officer of Victoria Walks. Plenty of you sending thoughts in. Walking around Lake Windaree in Ballarat yesterday, beautiful, says Roseanne. Cape Shank to Bushrangers Bay on Wednesday was amazing with the Red Hill Lions Club, says Alison. Thank you very much for your text as well.
And many people mentioning some of the gorgeous bird life and wildlife they see when they go walking too. So that's the thing. I think we've started to slow down a bit when we walk and you take it all in, the smells, the surroundings, your view, and it really does help. I know when we go for a bit of an evening stroll now, thanks to coronavirus, you come back and you feel a little bit decompressed. It's been a nice line between what is your working day, go for a walk, and then your home time starts after that. So it's a really great way of being able to combine those two things.
Let's just have a summary of where the rules are as we see it and as what we've heard during this program just before we finish today, Rochelle. For caravan parks specifically, where we started our program today, the rules are the toilets are open. The barbecues can be open, but that varies on a park-by-park basis, and there has to be cleaning before and after each group uses them. Communal showers are shut. Communal showers can be open if exclusive access is given to a particular camping group or people who are camping, and playgrounds are open as well. It must be noted on our text line, there's lots of people connecting the difficulty of navigating the tight restrictions for businesses and trips like caravan parks. Whilst there will be thousands of people walking together in the Melbourne on the weekend, I will take that as a comment, as Tony Jones used to say on Q&A. Also, we have some things from Parks Victoria. They're advising people, if you're going to a Victorian park over the weekend, observe physical distancing, 1.15 metres at all times. Do not gather in groups of more than 20 people. Check the parks open before travelling. You can do that on their website. Avoid parks that are usually busy on a weekend. Bring your own hand sanitizer. If the car park is full, no more people can visit that site. Do not join a queue or park illegally. Stay safe. Don't jump barriers. Usual sort of rules in that sort of area. And be prepared because it's pretty cold out there at the moment as we begin winter.
Absolutely. And if you are looking for a local walk, you can go to the Victoria Walks website, and that can give you some walks maybe more locally so that we all don't flock to the big ones and to the major ones. If you're not going away for the weekend, if you are going to stay and you want something to do over this long weekend, I think what is just do all the right things, use your brains, be polite, get as much information as you possibly can, and hopefully we can all enjoy this long weekend. And then coming into the school holidays, the caravan parks, you know, the camping sites, hopefully they will all be full and life will be vaguely back to normal just a little bit.
As my kids' school principal said in one of his speeches, try and be a good person, Rochelle. Just try and do the right thing. You've heard a lot about the rules. Sometimes it can be murky, but that doesn't mean there's an opening there to try and push the rules all the time. They're there for a reason. Let's all try and do our best.
Thanks so much for listening to The Conversation Hour. Never miss an episode. You can subscribe to The Conversation Hour podcast through the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can always email us as well, conversationhour@abc.net.au.